Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Football Talk from the Yorkshire Post, where we'll be discussing some of the latest talking points from the world of football with members of our football writing team. On this week's episode, we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Bill Mopshall, to discuss all of the latest developments affecting our local clubs. Don't forget you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging onto our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, as well as checking out our various Twitter feeds, the main one being at YP Sport. If you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. And if you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com.
yorkshirepost.co.uk.
As mentioned earlier in the intro, this week we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wobshaw. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Right, this week we saw Middlesbrough see their drop in performances continue with a 2-0 defeat against Stoke City. Hull City maintained their place in the top six with a 0-0 draw against Preston North End. Harrogate Town had to settle for a point in their 1-1 draw against Swindon Town, and Barnsley played out a 2-2 draw when they met Bolton Wanderers. However, let's start in the Premier League, where Sheffield United suffered a devastating 6-0 defeat when they welcomed Arsenal to Bramall Lane. We know that the Blades will be playing in the Championship next season, but how did Chris Wilder's men approach the remainder of the season so that they go down with some pride, Stuart?
Well, they've just got to approach it better than that. I mean, it was really, really poor. I mean, you know, even last week we were talking about on the podcast about they'd played with a bit of pride at Wolves. You know, we've been banging on and banging on about how they really have to show some fight in what's left of the season. But the last few home games have just been dreadful. Four matches, 21 goals conceded. And to be honest with you, I think often when we look at Sheffield United, probably the same applies to Rotherham. You take the results out of the equation, because better teams than Sheffield United are losing by fives and sixes to Arsenal right now. They're an outstanding team on really good form. But goal after goal, they just either waltzed outside or inside the fullback, got to the byline, pulled the ball back, had a shot, more often than not scored, rinse and repeat. It was just far, far too easy for them. And it's becoming a real worrying pattern, because if you look at the season as a whole, they started the campaign with a bit of fight about them, and it seemed to be ground out of them towards the end of Paul Heckingbottom's time. There were some really, really poor performances towards the end. He ended up getting sacked. Chris Wilder comes in. We saw some real fight, some real, you know, things to cling to against the likes of Liverpool, Brentford, Wolves, things like that. Mm. And again, at Bramall Lane at least, it just seems to have been knocked out of them. And you know, I was thinking back, and obviously Leon's seen some of the games, I've seen some of the games. So, but off the top of my head, I was thinking of five really poor performances, not results, performances this season. Newcastle at home after the first 20 minutes or so. Bournemouth at home, even though I think that was only three. Burnley away was just disgraceful. Aston Villa at home, and now this Arsenal game. And the worrying thing is that four of those five games have been at Bramall Lane. Yeah. You know, where they get such good support, and yet, you know, the last couple of games we've seen people leaving before half time. I just really worry, because obviously Chris Wilder's been brought in to do this rebuilding job. It really needs doing. He's a man of, you know, great experience. We've seen his managerial quality. If they keep on producing performances like this, it's going to be hard to continue. I mean, I don't think we're at that point yet. I would stress that. But, you know, there's 11 games left, and if they don't pull their socks up, you know, they're going to be forced into a situation where they have to make a decision they don't want to make. And you know, obviously everybody within the football club's got to do better, but the biggest onus has got to be on those players. They've got to really look at themselves. I thought it was really telling on Monday that four of the five players he substituted well, that were four of his most experienced players. He brought off Ollie Norwoods, he brought off Ollie McBurney, he brought off Tom Davis, and in this early in the second half, he brought off his captain, a centre back, to bring on a 20-year-old midfielder. I mean, that's just damning about the lack of leadership in that squad, and those players really have to look at themselves and ask, are they doing enough? Because I say to lose even 6-0 to Arsenal can happen when you're on your game and you're at it, but they made it so easy for Arsenal to be 5-0 up at half time, and they just it's just unacceptable.
No. They've got to look themselves in the mirror, Stuart. There's a fair few of those, you know, Armad Hodgson, other sort of senior players who've been there in the times of plenty, and you know, this is the other way. It's something that if you're going to have a long career in the game. Unfortunately, these things happen time to time. You have to show pride in your own personal performance. You need to show pride in the supporters that are turning out, and be able to look yourself in the mirror at the end of the working day, whether that's a training session, whether that's a league game at the end of the working week. And it's just simply not been good enough, has it? I think the worrying thing is, you know, you mentioned the Newcastle game. I did that. You've had the misfortune to do a few more of the batterings than I have, but it's the amount of easy goals that they've conceded, which is the worry for me. And it's you know, I remember, I go back to the Newcastle game, and it wasn't just sort of poor defensive goals. It was just, you know, midfielders not tracking the runners, just basic stuff that you taught when you become almost like an academy player, or when you start your footballing career. You know, the basics, tracking runners, you know, having an organisation that set plays and marking players, you know, passing on an opponent to another, that sort of, you know, elementary stuff that, you know, every professional, whether, you know, League Two, the Championship, Premier League, should be aware of. I mean, you know, in fairness, the Villa game, I saw some of that, and, you know, that, to be fair, a few of those goals were worldies, weren't they, really? But, the ones against Arsenal were, you know, incredibly soft and, you know, incredibly poor. And, you know, I just think the players have got to look themselves in a minute. The senior ones, they'll know it's not been good enough. I suppose if they need an example, just look at, you know, from what I saw in the game, Jack Robinson. I mean, he didn't have a great, but at least he was...
Exactly,
you know, he was... He was obviously looking at his own performance and, you know, his commitment levels, and, you know, in trying circumstances, he seemed to give everything. If they want to look at a player to maybe follow it, you know, it's him. You know, difficult day, but he had, he sort of cared for the jersey, and you could see it was hurting him. And you know, you look at the sort of games they've got, especially the younger players. Yeah, they've got games against the likes of Man United, against Liverpool. Obviously, they're going to be tough, but you know, if a young player, you get an opportunity there, just try and wring every bit out of it, and don't be let down in your preparation and what you give on the pitch. And you know, you just hope that there's enough hurt in that dressing room, especially on the senior players, to try and at least, you know, in terms of their attitude and the work ethic, just to sort of drag them through the remaining games of the season, and don't let themselves down, and don't let the younger players down, and don't let the supporters down. You know, that should be a given, shouldn't it? But yeah, they've had some desperately poor days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the more concerning things, Leon mentioned the Newcastle game, and that sort of started this trend of conceding goals in clusters. I think in, you know, as I said earlier, I think it was 0-0 about a quarter of the game through, wasn't it, Leon?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then I think I'm right in saying it was four goals in 18 minutes at one point during the second half, and it keeps happening like that. There's game after game where you can find two or three goals within the space of 10 minutes, and it's something Chris Wilder referred to after the Aston Villa game a couple of times after the Aston Villa game. So it's something he's very aware of. It's undoubtedly something he's made them very aware of. And you look at the goals against Arsenal. Having Arsenal hit the crossbar in the second minute, then we've got a goal after 5 minutes, a goal after 13 minutes, a goal after 15 minutes, a goal after 25 minutes. The roof just keeps coming in. And, you know, Leon talks about the basics. One of the basics, particularly when they're in that situation, is when you've conceded a goal, no matter what the circumstances, You just make absolutely certain.
Watching the door, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, Leo mentioned the quality of some of the goals in the Villa game, but even most of them, you know, most of the goals, if you look at them, there wasn't much pressure on the man on the ball. The runner got away from them. So even when teams are scoring good goals, they're made too easy for them by the lack of pressure on the ball and the lack of fight. And Leon's absolutely right. Jack Robinson really stood out that night just for doing the basics. I mean, you know, I don't mean this disparagingly, but Jack Robinson is not the most talented defender in that squad by quite a long way, but he's easily the best this season because he just gives everything he's got to give. As I say, he does the basics. He shows absolute commitment. And as I say, he's really the only one of those senior players who didn't get the hook. And that says something. And you know, Chris Wilder talked afterwards about, I think you'll see a lot more of the young players now. And I think supporters will be pleased to hear that. You often hear it in these sort of situations, throw the kids in. And there's been a bit of a reluctance to do that for the damage it might do to them. But I think Chris Wilder's just reached the end of his tether and just thought, well, I mean, he basically said after the game, well, it wasn't any worse. It actually got better. That there is at the situation, I think, where he's in danger of really losing faith in some of these senior players, some of whom, of course, a lot of whom are out of contract in the summer and should be, from a purely selfish perspective, should be thinking, you know, I really need to earn myself a new contract. But, you know, the long and the short of it, with the risk of sounding like Roy Keane, it's their job. Yeah. You know, they're not doing what they're paid to do, ultimately, by the people who come and pay at the gate and pay their TV subscriptions. And I say it's just unacceptable. And when you see them win at Luton a couple of weeks ago, and you see what they're capable of away from Bramall Lane, they're the worst team in the league. The league table tells you that, but they're not as bad as they're playing at their worst now. And they've just got to cut these all too regular days out.
Yeah. I think the worry just quickly, psychologically, you know, next season going to be in the Championship, no doubt about that. You know, how some of these beatings for the players that remain, you know, in terms of the psyche, in terms of next season, you know, a bedrock of successful Sheffield United teams of the past has been home form, going to Bramall Lane, you know, a tough arena to go. You don't get any free lunches there. You know, the last season under Paul Heggenbottom, that was shown in the times of plenty under Chris Wilder. But they've took that many beatings there, haven't they, this season? And one of the ones that stay is going to be a bit of a spillover. And, you know, even the size of the face in the Championship, they'll probably look at the results and think, you know, hey, maybe it's not that tough a place to come after all. Look at them last season. Look at some of the hidings and, you know, sort of mud sticks in that regard, doesn't it? So I think, you know, going forward, just you know, try and get back to that sort of, you know, picture of Bramall Lane being a tough arena, hard to go to, and you don't get 3 points given. But yeah, it's going to take a big turnaround, isn't it? Because, you know, they've took some, you know, some serious beatings there this season.
Yeah, and you talk about the players, Lynn. I mean, it's that time of year for supporters everywhere. They've got to decide about whether to renew your season tickets. And if you're someone who's left before half time in, you know, two of the last three games, and you're forking out all this money for something you're not enjoying, it's hard for you to go home and just decide to the wife to say, look, you know, I'm going to renew my season ticket. And,
Very true. Yeah.
You know, as Leon says, whether it be empty seats or just apathetic fans, it totally dilutes Sheffield United's big strength, which they are going to need next season.
That's going to be the worry, you know, early season. They go get down and then they suffer a 3-0 defeat, say, in September, early season, August. Then it will be really, you know, toxic and a bit poisonous. So they've got to be aware of that a bit further down the line, because, you know, there's that potential for that sort of, that to spill over into next season if they're not careful.
And next we turn our attention to Leeds United, who first bowed out of the FA Cup after losing 3-2 with a spirited performance against Chelsea, which was then followed up by a 1-1 draw when they paid a visit to Huddersfield Town. After that, they then played out a 1-0 victory when they faced Stoke City. Now, what was your assessment of the games and how could they go into their game against Sheffield Wednesday, Leon?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, isn't it? You know, it's Sheffield Wednesday, you know, what a story that Danny Rowles are producing there. I just think Leeds are having to, just having to find a way, however it goes, really. You know, Stewart did the game on Tuesday against Stoke, and by all accounts, it sounded to be a bit of a grind, but, yeah. You know, ultimately, it's just about the point. I mean, you look at the top of the table, and, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I can remember a few seasons where, I remember the, you know, the famous one when Sheffield United and Leeds were going for it, Chris Wilder and Bielsa and Norwich as well. You know, that was a real strong three-horse race. I'm old enough to remember, you know, even further than that, years ago with, you know, the Howard Wilkinson, the Dave Bassett times and Newcastle as well. Three teams going for two spots. But, it's even more fascinating and intense this year, isn't it? I mean, we've got four teams. You've got Leicester, Southampton, Ipswich and Leeds and... You look at Ipswich. We've spoken before. You know, there was a little bit of a talk. You know, just after Christmas, start of New Year. Well, they'll go away now, and you know their reaction has been magnificent, hasn't it? And a great buy-in in Keith Lamore, and it's got the potential of going seriously long and all the way. And I think it's sort of at the minute. It's just about if you can play well with a bit of style, it's. That's great. That's a bonus, but it's just, you know, you can imagine the Leeds players. They'll, you know, getting in after beating Stoke. You know, how have Ipswich done? How have Leicester done? That sort of thing. And you know, you look at Ipswich, they're scoring a lot of late goals, aren't they? And that's a big thing. I think in a promotion race, and it's a wonderful habit to have. And I think they were always probably going to have this little bit of a period where they're going to have to really dig in. There was obviously the short turnaround from Chelsea, and it was a sort of cup game where you know a very high profile game. You look at the history between the two clubs, Leeds and Chelsea. Leeds couldn't just go there and play the reserves and just have a bit of fun. There was always something on that game, and as Stuart rightly said last week, there was 5,500 supporters in the shed. So it was difficult for them at Huddersfield. And you know, Huddersfield really got in the faces, it's fair to say, and you know, doubled up on Leeds as attacking players. Didn't make it easy for them at all. It was quite stop to start. One or two probably, I won't say pushed the boundaries, but they were quite. Jonathan Hogg and Matty Pearson especially. You certainly knew that they knew it was a derby. That's probably the best way of putting it. And Hogg was daft, wasn't he, really, with the elbow. But Pearson was a little bit fortunate, but you've got to credit Huddersfield as well. I think across the pitch they were very well organized, broke the play well, and smothered out Leeds as flair players. And it's just look at the division, isn't it? You know, Leeds had won, they're going for a club record 10th straight league win. You know, they've won 28 points from 30, and then they find themselves out of the automatic promotion positions at the after the draw on Saturday. But yeah, you just got to show a strong jaw and just find a way. And obviously Leeds want to go to Huddersfield and warn, it's a derby and everything, and obviously the other results. But at least they didn't lose. You know, that's what I'm going to say. You know, they could have easily, you know, sort of. Even lost that game, so they got something from it. You take it and you move on. And Daniel Farke had one or two issues with the pitch, with Huddersfield's approach. But to be fair, he acknowledged that they sort of defended brilliantly after going down to 10 men. So one of them those days for Leeds. But you know, creditably, they hit back straight away against Stoke. And I know you were at that game, Stuart. And he. I couldn't understand what Parker was saying in talking up that win, because it was a little bit of a test for them after what happened at the weekend. I'm sure Stoke were, they probably looked at Huddersfield's tactics and they're struggling a bit. they wouldn't have, you know, teams are going to do that against leaders, ones that struggle. They're not going to go out and turn it into a basketball match and say, you attack, we attack. They're going to clog up spaces, make it difficult, make it stop start. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's only last week, although it was three Leeds games ago, that we were talking about, you know, that there will be a wobble. It's how Leeds react. But I think both of us, when we were talking about the wobble, we were talking about a significant league defeat to recover from.
Yeah,
it's huge credit to them that we're talking a couple of games into this wobble, and they're still unbeaten in 2024. Yeah. I mean, that is a real sign of a top side. And as Leon quite rightly says, you know, the performance of Ipswich to miss a late penalty at 2-2 and still beat Bristol City 3-2 shows that they have to be at this level because, you know, the other teams are as well. But yeah, it was really good to see because, as I say, just looking from afar, the Huddersfield game looks a real struggle. You know, when you're playing against 10 men, against the team down at the other end of the table for that long, You do expect to win, but clearly Leeds were quite a long way from their best, and they were a long way from their best against Stoke. You know, they had a period of about 15-20 minutes when they were really good. You know, a lot of the rest of the game, Stoke were the best aside, but they've got 4 points from those games. You know, and as Leon says, it's all about the results. That's the name of the game. It's really encouraging, but you know, as we speak now, this run is not over. It was about really a chunk of 4 games in 10 days, and you know, we'll talk a bit more about Sheffield Wednesday later. But to go to Hillsborough to finish this run is going to be a heck of a test. You know, they looked short on energy on Tuesday. They might need to freshen the squad up a bit because Sheffield Wednesday are all about energy under Danny Rowe, especially at Hillsborough. So, you know, it could be that on the next podcast where, you know, we're reflecting on this unbeaten run coming to an end, it's that big a test for them. But the you know, the character they have shown, I mean, even that Chelsea game was kind of an ideal game in a lot of respects. We said beforehand, you know, they were going to have to give everything. But they deserved to win. They didn't win, but actually, let's be brutally honest, it pains me to say it with it being the FA Cup, but actually to go out under those circumstances was probably the best thing for Leeds, really. Not having the extra game, but being able to go out with a head held high. But this is a really testing run for them, and it's not over yet. But the character they're showing week after week, I mean, they played at the end, I mentioned in the report, they played at the end of the game as soon as it finished, Joy Division. Obviously, sarcastic reference to the terrorist song Leeds are falling apart. This Leeds team has a lot about it. You just do not get the impression they might not be good enough because Ipswich, Southampton, Leicester are setting such a high standard, but you really get the impression that this isn't a team that's going to crumble and fall apart whatever happens.
I think that's the thing, Stuart. Don't panic. I mean, they could, you know, even they went to Sheffield Wednesday. If they did get beat, you just hope there's not a massive overreaction. I actually think if they went there, and even if they got a point, it wouldn't be. Yeah. I don't. That would be obviously you get all the mood music on Twitter, this and that. But you know, in the circumstances, it probably wouldn't be that bad a point, would it? Really, and you're gonna get some ups and downs. I think in this running, that's for sure. And some of it could be who sort of holds the nerve the best, really, you know, in terms of getting a defeat and hitting back straight away. I've spoken about it before. I remember Paul Warren at Rotherham saying it's not about getting beat, it's about your reaction and not getting beat back to back. So as much as this promotion race is about talent, character, skill, it's about bottle, isn't it, and character, because there's some well matched sides there at the top in, you know, in Leeds, Southampton, you know, even Leicester and Ipswich, none of them really look like they're going to go away, and it's just going to go really long. So, you know, unfortunately, we've spoken about it many times. Daniel Farker, he's pretty much the calmest man in the building, and in terms of everything connected with Leeds, he's done this before at Norwich. He's well aware of, you know, the crunch time and of the season and what it takes. So, trusting the process, and he's got the dressing room right, And yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about Leeds. They've got a strong jaw for me, and they don't look aside, as Stuart said, who are going to give it away.
And just a word on Huddersfield, if I may. I mean, a really good start to Andre Brighton, right? His reign, as Leon says, you know, they pushed the boundaries a bit in that Leeds game. But
it's a point.
Exactly, yeah. You know, to start with 4 points from his first two games, you know, really, really good, really encouraging. And encouraging as well to see that they went to Watford and it was all about, you know, the front foot attacking play. Then they had a game where, say, because of Jonathan Hogg's daft couple of seconds, they really had to dig in, and they showed that they can dig in. And again, you know, you look at the results that they had at the weekend. Huddersfield got a great draw against Leeds and still dropped.
Yeah.
It's a similar story at the bottom of the table. You know, teams who've been really struggling suddenly in the spring are capable of doing some incredible things, and you've just got to keep up with them. And yeah, you know, it's been a really good start by Brighton Reiter in that respect.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like what he said as well. You know, he's not, and it sounds a bit funny, but he's not really worrying about the table too much at the minute. He's come in, he wants to see, let's get the performances right and what I want. And, you know, then further down the line, we'll sort of worry about the table. And, yeah, there's been encouragement, hasn't there? A great result at Watford. And, you know, in the circumstances, a tremendous point against Leeds, where they, you know, they give absolutely everything to get something from that game in testing circumstances. So, yeah, encouraging start for them.
And next, our attention turns to Sheffield Wednesday, who claimed a much-needed 3 points with a 1-0 victory over Rotherham United, which was then followed by a 1-0 win when they clashed with Plymouth Argyle. This now means the Owls are still inside the drop zone, but only on goal difference. And it's safe to say that this is an incredibly close fight for survival at the bottom of the division. But what were your thoughts on the game, Stuart?
Well, I think it just underlined to me how far Sheffield Wednesday have come. I mean, I was looking after the game, and I took the Leicester game where they Sheffield Wednesday drew with Leicester early in Danny Rowles' reign as sort of the starting point, because it felt that was when Danny Rowles' time got going. Mm-hmm. And if the league had started then, they'd be in the playoff positions now. You know, A, that's incredible in itself, and B, it's incredible that that sort of form hasn't even got them out of the relegation zone yet, which shows you what a massive head start they gave everyone else. Mm. But yeah, they don't look like a team in the relegation zone the way that they're playing, certainly the way they played against Rotherham the other day. They did lack a bit of a clinical edge, which is an odd thing to say when you think they've got a striker in Ike Ogbos who's come in and scored so many goals. You know, they had a goal wrongly disallowed and they hit the post late on, so it might have been more comfortable than a 1-0 win, but it certainly wasn't comfortable, which is credit to Rotherham. But yeah, they're just showing the advantage of getting a really good coach in. You know, they didn't make all the signings they wanted in January. They didn't move out all the players they wanted in January, but Rowles worked with the players he's got. He's really got the best out of them. There's a really good understanding between them, and they play some really good football. So I would be pretty confident that over the course of this season, they're going to get their heads above water. But again, a bit like Huddersfield, they came in after a good result. They saw that Stoke had won, they saw that Millwall had won, and they saw that QPR had won at Leicester City, and that's the nature of it at the moment. It's really relentless at both ends, and you can't afford, you know, as we were saying about Leeds, when you have a bad result along the way, you just can't afford to let it bleed into two or three games. And you know, Wednesday right now is showing really good consistency. That's five wins out of six, I think it is, as we speak now, four on the trot. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were saying, well, they're really good at home, but they're letting themselves down away. Well, they've beaten Millwall and Rotherham now away from home. You know, they're not the full package, but they're certainly moving towards that.
I think the interesting thing might be, Stuart, when they get out of the relegation zone. I mean, yeah. they're still the hunter, aren't they, really? And, mm. Yeah, as they're doing, but then if they do get out of it, they'll be the hunted. But you know, given what they've shown under Danny Rowland, you back them to handle it. I think the impressive there's a lot of impressive things. I mean, I like the fact that they've had contributions from across the squad, but I think there's just a lot of character that's grown there in a real short space of time, and the dressing room has got really strong. I mean, you look at some of the early games up under Roma, they it was a slow start. I think they lost 4-0 at home to Millwall, and they lost a game at Birmingham, and I was in his press conference, I think it was last week, and I think he was referencing after that game, was it the end of November or start of December, something like that, and there were 13 points, you know, adrift of fourth from bottom, and you know, that's a pretty dire position. Well, it was dire before he came in, and you know, yeah, you still look at it, the first win was against Rotherham, wasn't it, at the end of you know, incredible. You know, but after that Birmingham game, it looked dire, and they produced, you know, a really good response. You know, before Christmas, they drew at Leicester, and I think they got about 10 wins from about 10 points from about 15. And you know, you look at them this year as well. They took I did the Huddersfield game, and they just went to pieces in the second half defensively for about 15 minutes. I've never seen them. I can't still struggling to fathom if I've ever seen anything like it, really. And you know, you really did worry for them. It was a massive low, and you know, to show such character and spirit to hit back from that. They've had five wins from six. It speaks a lot, obviously, about you know the coaching of Ron. But you know, in terms of the sort of unity and spirit he's got in there, you know, as much as anything else. And yeah, it's becoming one of the stories of the Championship season, what he's doing there. I mean, we were all privileged to see what happened at Huddersfield in the last third of last season under Neil Warnock. And you know, this is becoming a really special story, and it should be a great occasion and a great game against Leeds. I mean, it's, you know, it's a real sort of spicy one, and they're obviously needing points for different reasons. So yeah, that'll be a fascinating one. And one thing, you know, Sheffield Wednesday at the minute, they're going to really relish it, aren't they? They're going to, you know, they're not going to go in there and feel cowed at all. So yeah, all power to them. It's, you know, especially given some of the tough results that they've had, it's been remarkable stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about their neighbours earlier, that Huddersfield game, where again it was a collapse, really, wasn't it, in the last 20 minutes or so. That should probably have been the breaking of them, you know. Danny Roll talked to Leon afterwards and said about how the dressing room sort of bonded together after that. And they've won every game since. You know, it's been the making of them. But I think one thing I would say is that, you know, on the character of the squad, I don't think that's, with the greatest of respect, I don't think that's anything Danny Rowles built. I think we saw that under Darren Moore last season. Yeah. He's preserved it, though, and that's, you know, it can easily be lost, this sort of spirit, particularly when you think, you know, he's basically alienated in terms of you know, appearances. A couple of members of the squad basically said, I don't want you involved. He's obviously done that I don't know. Well, I say obviously, perhaps he's done that in quite a clever way. I mean, I think the fact that he's kept a couple of squad places open, and that the door is not completely shut on the likes of Lee Gregory, you know, that they still have something to train for. They still have something to... Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I feel that obviously, you know, the sort of epitome of that spirit, we saw that in the playoff comeback against Peterborough United. We saw that spirit there, and it could easily have been lost in the way they started the season. But credit to those professionals, and credit to the wider group, they've preserved that, and that gives me a bit of encouragement that if and when they do go from being the hunters to the hunted, they will be able to cope with that, because as I say, there's some really, really good senior players guiding some talented young players there.
Yeah,
totally agree. Yeah. And Bradford City is where we turn our attention to next, who played out a 1-1 draw when they faced Doncaster Rovers. This now sees the Bantams 7 points off the playoff spots. But what did you make of the performances from both teams, Leon?
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty stodgy, a bit like the pitch from Bradford City. They looked a team that hadn't played. I think it was in the league. I think it was about 17 days, wasn't it? They've had a couple of postponements, and in fairness, the pitch was. I thought it was okay. Really, they were fortunate in the respect there was no rain on Monday. Monday and Tuesday, the goal mouths were heavily sanded, but you know, the ball seemed to run well. It was, you know, Grant McCann was there before the game. What, you know, he was watching his players train, and I think he had an eagle eye on the pitch. But to be fair, I think he stood up well. And you know, he actually said afterwards that the pitch at Walsall on Saturday was worse, and the one at Bradford was a bit flatter. But yeah, in fairness, Doncaster played. They played really well in the first half, and you know, I think over the course of the piece, they should have really won. They just couldn't get that that second goal, which I think would have killed Bradford off. They couldn't get going. Bradford, they looked a little bit rusty, especially in the first half. And yeah, Rovers were good value for the goal from Luke Molyneux, and they played some good stuff on the surface. I was impressed by young Craig in midfield. He looks a player to watch. He was really bright and busy, took care of the ball, a good range of passing. Adelican had his moments. And if they'd have got a second goal, that would have been it. But yeah, Bradford dug in. They made some changes on the hour mark. Tyler Smith came on, and a couple of other changes as well. And you know, and Smith got the goal near the end. So I think in the end it was probably a good draw for Bradford. I think it probably worked against them. You know, they've not played for 2 weeks. They lacked a bit of rhythm. I thought their the selection in mid, the miss Richie Smallwood. I thought they had Clark Adore and Kevin McDonald just as a two in the middle of a centre midfield, and that didn't particularly work for me. I prefer Adore a little bit further forward as more like a 10. I think in a straight two in a midfield two that doesn't suit him. But you know, fair play to Bradford. They got something out of the game. It wasn't the best game for Callum Kavanagh. I wasn't going for him. He came off. Obviously Smith came on and got a goal. But I think the good thing from a Rovers perspective is, I know they lost on Saturday at Walsall, but I don't think they played particularly badly. But they look a team who might be able to have a little bit of fun between now and the end of the season. You know, a team that if you're... Fortunately, they're a little bit far away from the top seven, even though it looks really open still for a couple of spots. But if you're sort of going for the top seven and you're playing a Doncaster side who do have some talented players, but they've underachieved this season, it could be a difficult afternoon. So that's got to be the hope for Rovers now. Just try and get some momentum and some positivity in the last bit of the season, which is something that they probably haven't got in the last three seasons, and just so they can take something into the summer, because they've got some talented footballers on the day. You know, Molyneux's a nice player on his game. You know, a few others as well. So yeah, there was some optimism for Rovers. Bradford just got something on a difficult night. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I felt for Bradford a bit because you know I covered the. The Football League Trophy game against Wigan, what feels like absolutely ages ago. And, you know, to lose that in the circumstances they did, you came away from that game saying, thinking, you know, I'd like to see the reaction to this. And they've had to wait such a long time to react. You know, that's been a bit unfortunate. But, you know, every team has their moments of bad luck. You know, they've boxed themselves into a position where they've got a lot of catching up to do anyway. It feels like, certainly for Doncaster, and probably in all honesty for Bradford, it's going to be a bit of a nothing season in terms of the playoffs being, you know, out of reach for both of them. But there's never a nothing season. And, you know, Leon's written before about how at County Park, they've got a league table up, haven't they? The league table since February.
Yeah.
That's the way they're motivating themselves.
Yeah.
And I think what Leon's just said is absolutely spot on. You know, the way that Doncaster finished this season, the way that they finished recent seasons, has been really poor and has really had a knock-on effect. And if they can just get some momentum going, if they can just build some belief on the terraces and on the field, it can snowball, and it can be the start of next season's promotion push. So for both teams, again, Leon used a good phrase, have some fun. They should both be really, positive about these last games of the season. Have some fun. Really, get some momentum together, and that's the way they got to look at it. And if in Bradford's case, the absolute best case scenario happens and they land themselves in the playoffs, well, they do so in the best health possible, but they should just look at the smaller picture.
Yeah.
Just, enjoying winning football games and building relationships as players.
I think most sensible Bradford fans would, obviously, ideally they want to get into the playoffs, but given the season that they've had, there was a hangover after the playoff failure. It didn't go for them at all in the opening third, and opening half of the season, really, I suppose, if you extend that. If they can finish the season and some good entertaining football, some good results, a bit of fun, a bit of momentum, then they can take that into next season, can't they? Everyone knows that they're a big, they shouldn't be at this level historically, but in the here and now they are. You look at the timing at this level. There's only one season that they've got in the playoffs, and that was last year. Quite a few of the previous seasons have faded out. So, yeah, you want that sort of positivity there, as you do with Rovers. And Stuart mentioned earlier about, players being out of contract at Sheffield United, as they are going to be at a lot of clubs, and Doncaster have got a lot of players who were up in the summer, and it's their time now to say, well, look, I want to stay, or I want to play for something elsewhere. So that's going to be a big side of it for me. But thankfully, we've had these. The last few seasons it's been really grim, and you've been clutching at straws to get anything positive at Doncaster. There just looks to be a little bit of a chink of light at the minute.
And finally for this week, I turn to Stuart for his player of the week before looking to Leon for his team of the week. So, Stuart, who has caught your attention this week?
Well, I think, I mentioned him earlier, and I think really Ike Ugbo has really stood out for Sheffield Wednesday. It's incredible to think that he only joined them on loan in mid-January, and he's already the club's top goal scorer. I mean, that's just ludicrous. And ultimately, his goal against Rotherham was the difference between the two teams. And then he followed that up by creating the only goal of a 1-0 win against Plymouth. He's got six goals now in his last six games. It's really, taken the pressure and expectation off Bailey Cadamatri. It was always going to be difficult for a player who's new to the team from the youth ranks to sort of carry that goal scoring burden for Sheffield Wednesday. So they did need somebody to come in. And I think it's fair to say, even though he'd played English football before, people weren't dancing on the ceiling about the idea of Ugbo being the answer to all their problems. But he's come in and he's done a really good job for Sheffield Wednesday. Should probably mention a couple of others. Brody Spencer, we know what a difficult job it is chasing after Leeds United wingers, and for a lad who'd been ill for a lot of the week as well, to come in and show that sort of character. He looks like a real, although he's a very young player, looks like a real leader for Huddersfield Town's future, and it's been really good to see the way he's performed, ever since he's got back from his loan spell. Barnsley continue to do really good things, and it was good to see Corey O'Keefe get on the score sheet for them. But Ugbo for me is the one who stands out right now as the player of the week.
Yeah, and Leon, which team stood out for you this week?
I think it's worth mentioning a couple first. I mean, you've got to say Huddersfield, they've a very good start under Andre Brighton Wright. You know, not too many people would have had them down to get a point against Leeds, you know, and more especially not after losing a player on the stroke of half time. You know, you thought some Huddersfield fans were thinking, well, here we go, the second half. You know, Leeds are going to pile it on and we'll, you know, we're probably going to lose. But yeah, he spoke a lot about what he's done there in a short space of time. And they've, you know, they look like they've got the mojo back a little bit. They've, you know, even, and I think in fairness, it's, you have to credit, you know, John Worthington as well before Brighton Wright came in, because, you know, he's re-energised the side. So Huddersfield going along that, you know, nicely enough. You know, Barnsley as well, even though it was a major disappointment at the end against Bolton, they didn't lose, and they got a very good win at Wickham, who was strong at home the weekend. So Barnsley still in a pretty good place, but you know, it's impossible to ignore Sheffield Wednesday, isn't it? They've won five in six, and you know, as I pointed out earlier, you know, that just slightly over, you know, start of February, they took a, you know, real psychologically damaging hit at Huddersfield, and to turn it round, you know, straight away with five wins out of six is. It's all power to everything that Danny Rowles been about, and yeah, it's becoming a terrific story. So you've got to say Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, it's just, some people by the time they're listening to it might have seen that game. Yeah. But it's just a fascinating game on Friday. It'd be really interesting to see the character of both sides in a really big derby.
YorkshirePost.co.uk.
Many thanks to Stuart Rayner and Leon Wobshall, who will doubtless join us again soon for more discussions on the Yorkshire football scene. But don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging on to our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, or if you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. If you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com. As ever, many thanks for listening, look after yourselves, and bye for now.